Welcome to the Cruciform Life Church podcast, featuring the weekly sermons from our Sunday gathering. Please visit us online at www.cruciformlifechurch.org for more information.
Pastor Lloyd, most of us know him, right? Pastor Lloyd from our church in Lipa has been working in the shoe industry. If my memory serves me right, he said since he was, I think, 18 years old. And that's his career all throughout, up until today. He's working in the shoemaking industry. He has worked with well-known brands like Adidas. He once led the factory of Adidas in Vietnam for years, I think 10 years. And then he is now overseeing both, I think, Vans and Timberland. So he is the head of production. And he will now be handling three countries. Philippines, Indonesia, and China. So all his life, it's all about shoes. And I think he has known the ins and outs of shoes. I don't know, I'm thinking one day to buy a fake one and try to let him guess if it's fake or not. Or just for a fun, try to give him a gift and a fake shoes from China. I wonder if he would be able to spot if it is fake or not. What do you think? I'm pretty sure he would. He has known so much of the genuine ones that it is so easy to discern the fake ones. I started with that today because, you know, to spot the problem with most of these false teaching is not to go around and try to see what are these false teaching. Our ability to spot the false teaching is to know the truth. That we are so acquainted with the truth so that if we can hear something wrong, we can right away smell that. We might not be able to touch the problem right away, but it doesn't seem to fit with our theology. That is the best way to know the false teaching. Which makes me realize that these churches, many churches today, have mellowed down the value of theology. Many would say that there is too much theology in the church, and so might as well lower down theology and be big in practical application. But what would you ask? What would you apply if in the first place you don't know the truth? I think these churches is in a dire situation. Nakakatakot po yung situation po na ito. And if you are in truth war, if talagang naintindihan mo yung time natin today, and even in the time of Paul, and it has never changed. In fact, here's the truth. The reason why the church in all of history has come to have a clear understanding on a certain doctrine is because of a presence of the heresies. Takambal na po natin yung heresy. It's all around us. And it has not slowed down. I think more than any period of history, we are facing a lot of these heresies. And it is in churches that are not deep in theology or in a dangerous situation. See, we have to grow in our theology if we will be good servants of Christ. Our title this morning is The Importance of Theology in the Work of a Good Servant. The Importance of Theology in the Work of a Good Servant. So I hope that upon hearing that one, there is that desire within us that we want to be a good servant of the Lord. I understand this is an exhortation to Timothy, and Timothy is a pastor. And we can very well say, now, I'm not a pastor, but I don't think this is just for pastors. I think it is for all Christians. I think it is for all of us. It is for the Juan de la Cruz. That we need to grow in our theology. Now, after Paul gave instructions to Timothy on how to make sure that the church of Ephesus would be effective in their witness of the gospel. So, if you remember, chapter 2 and chapter 3, it is really about the witness, the church's witness of the gospel. And Paul had to say, if the church would be kept, if the testimony of the church would be kept, then the church should be led by qualified men, qualified elders, and qualified deacons. And we are continually calling the men in the church that it is about time for you to start praying, Lord, are you calling me to be an elder one day, or are you calling me to be a deacon one day? Here in chapter 4, he will instruct Timothy how he could be a good servant of Christ pertaining to the fight against heresies. Pertaining to the fight against heresies. Now, we will have 3 sermons on this chapter, chapter 4. And it's all about a good servant of Christ. Today, we will look at the theology, the importance of theology in the work of a good servant, verses 1 to 6. Next Sunday, we'll be looking at verses 7 to 10. And we will look at the pursuit of a good servant. If you are a good servant of God, what is it that you need to pursue? That's what we'll be looking at next week. And it's focusing on godliness. And then, lastly, the life and ministry of a good servant, where Paul told Timothy to grow both in his life and his teaching. Because in doing so, he will save both his own soul and the souls of those whom he was leading. So we will be looking at that in the next Sundays to come. So today we will focus on verses 1 to 6, where Paul is concerned about some people in the church who would leave the faith. Now, yes, there are some people in the church who would leave the faith because of heresies. And if you look at verses 1 to 6, you will realize that the towering observation, if there's one thing we will understand when it comes to fighting against heresies, is the importance of theology. Okay, so huwag po tayong matakot. Some of us, iniisip natin, Pastor, sa inyo na lang yan. You know, ang theology ay hindi para sa akin. Simpleng tao lang po ako, Pastor. You know, the moment you say, God is, whatever you will say, God is holy, God is good, you are doing theology. So whether you like it or not, you'll do theology. The only question is, are you a good theologian or bad? You would rather be good, right, than bad. So theology is not for some of us only. Theology is for all of us. It is for all of us. We want us to read. We want us to study. We want us to have books that will help us understand who God is deeper. So why do servants of God need to be theologically deep? Why do pastors need to be theologically deep? Why do members in the church need to be theologically deep? We'll divide the passage today into 3 points. First, I'm not going to be faithful in the division because it's interconnected, but we will have 3 points. First, the ever-present heresies. The ever-present heresies. Now, for our kids in the church, ask your parents when you get home, ask them and use the word false. Ask them, Tay, Nay, ano po ibig sabihin ni Pastor when he said false? Second point, today we will look at the theology of the good servant. You ask your parents when you get home, what does it mean? What does the word mean today? The word right. Right? False, right. And then the third one is the work of a good servant. And ask your parents of the word work. So you have 3 points today: false, right, and work for our children. And then as we are done with the 3 points, then we will nail down our main idea towards the end of our sermon. So the ever-present heresies. It is ever-present. There's no time in the history of the church that there was no heresy. And you see, we always have a mixture of problems. No, dami po nating problema. First, many times as a church, we do not really understand the value of truth. No, marami po sa atin na hindi po natin naiintindihan kung ano po yung value ng katotohanan. And yet, we understand from Scripture, if you look at Scripture po, kung titin mo yung writings ni Paul, writings ng mga apostles, the Gospels, you will understand, there is a sense at least that you understand, this is a battle of truth. Right? This is a battle of truth. In all of history, it has always been a battle of truth. Pero para maraming pagkakataon na hindi po natin pinapahalagahan yung katotohanan. Kaya naman po, it leads us to the second one, we are always unsuspecting. Na nakakatakot because parang namumuhay tayo dito sa mundo as if the world that we're living is so safe. No, the world that we're living is not safe. First Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, Paul said this. Now the Spirit, look at that. It is not Paul who said this, nor Peter, nor anyone else. No, the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Again, if there is a problem that is never absent in all periods of the history of the church, it is heresies. And it is right because the Holy Spirit himself here told Paul that these heresies would even cause some people in the church to leave the faith. This is sad, but this is a reality. Now, the church should take heed. Kailangan po natin pakinggan itong warning because, again, this is the Holy Spirit. This is no ordinary Juan de la Cruz who said, I am prophesying that one day some people will live in the church, will live from the faith. No, he said, the Spirit, the word expressly, means clearly. It means clearly. There is no way for us to know as to when did the Holy Spirit say this to Paul or how did the Holy Spirit say this to Paul. What Paul wants us to do, here is to let Timothy understand that it was clearly a message from the Holy Spirit. He couldn't miss it. It was clearly a message from the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit clearly, expressly says that some will depart from the faith. Some who will understand the faith. Some who very well understood the gospel. Some who once agree with the gospel. Some who once at once in the church obeyed the Lord because of the gospel. Some whom you never really expect that they will suddenly leave the faith. The Holy Spirit said, some will suddenly deny the gospel. Some who said that salvation is through faith in Christ Jesus alone will suddenly say, no, no one can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Can you sense the unthinkability of it? They would turn from their understanding of salvation through Jesus Christ alone, according to Paul, and then turn Look at what it says. By devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, which Paul described in verse 3 to be teaching of forbidding someone to marry and abstinence from food. Devoting means paying attention to. It is like change of focus from the exclusivity of the gospel to mixing the gospel with not marrying, with regulating your eating habit. This is a change of understanding. This is a change of focus. This is a change of mind. One has once agreed in the mind, persuaded in the mind, intellectually at least, that the gospel is right. But now he is saying that to keep oneself from certain things, it makes sense to me. That if we want to be spiritual, you can do so by depriving yourself of these good things. Does it sync with the gospel? That for you to be spiritual before God, that for you to be accepted by God, the gospel is not enough. You have to deprive yourself. You have to deprive yourself. Now, I trust. And I was praying for this and I said, Lord, I trust the majority of the people in the church know Christ. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you understand the gospel, do you see the foolishness of this? Like, how can this make sense? How can you give up believing the salvation through faith in Jesus Christ for what? You are no longer believing in the sufficiency of Jesus, ng kasapatan ng Panginoon, because you are now into not marrying and not eating too much. You see the foolishness of this. It is understandable that unbelievers, I would understand that unbelievers will try all sorts of foolishness out there. But we are talking about so-called Christians. Can this really happen? Well, the Holy Spirit expressly said it to Paul. And listen, it was in the writing of 1 Timothy, it was happening in the church of Ephesus. Yes, Paul said that in later times, some will depart the faith. However, this is not merely happening in the far future. Maybe even today you're saying, oh, in the future this will happen. No, even the time Paul, it happened. If you notice, Paul, how Paul said it here, especially with regards to verses 3 to 5 of your scripture, you will get to understand that it was actually happening already. And that was the problem that Timothy was fighting against. In other words, the Holy Spirit said to him in the past. The Holy Spirit said to him in the past that in later times, and that already happened in the time of Timothy all throughout the rest of the church. So then think of later times. We are so futuristic when we think of eschatology. And we always say, oh, that's going to happen in the future. No, we are in the future. It's going to happen in the tribulation. No, we are in the tribulation. I tried to tell that one in the people of Gaza and tell them, no, the tribulation is not here. This might have something to do with the warning that Paul gave to the elders of the church in Ephesus. Remember, before leaving Ephesus in Acts 20, pinatawag ni Paul yung mga elders, and particularly I want to read verses 28 to 30. This is what Paul said. Acts 20, verse 28 to 30, he said, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you. Will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among yourselves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Some of these who turned against the faith, listen, were actually elders in the church of Ephesus. Some of the elders of this church became false teachers. It might have been one of the reasons why Paul had to be clear of the qualifications of the elders, especially that elders should be able to teach. Now, it's not just the gifting of teaching. They must know the teachings of the faith very well before they can be elders. They need to have a deep understanding of the gospel. They need to have a deep understanding of the scripture before they should be put as elders, because there were elders in the church of Ephesus who became false teachers. Impossible. The elders, the other elders in the church might have been shaking their heads in disbeliefs that what? A fellow elder of ours now denied the faith? Can you sense how it shook the faith, the church? But it was happening. How many times I have asked, how did it happen, Pastor, that Christian so-and-so is now into something else instead of the gospel? Unthinkable. But it is happening. There is a reason why Paul said these are deceitful spirits. It is because it is deceitful. And these false teachers are relentless. Because they are not only insincere, holding to Paul in verse 2, their conscience are seared. Like, may doctor tayo dito, may nurse din, may medtech tayo, and nurse at magdo-doctor. I am not an expert in medical things. I studied biology, but I end up a pastor. But they said that there is, if you have a wound, and that the bleeding would not stop, they cauterized it. Right? They burned the skin to stop the bleeding. And then, seared, meaning as they cauterized it, it will become like my, if you see my big scar here. And this big scar, if you want to play and do flick it over and over, it won't feel anything. Seared means it is cauterized. They don't feel anything. They're numb. Their conscience are numb. They don't blink an eye to tell us of lies. All they care is that you believe in their teaching. Unthinkable. But this is happening. Joshua Harris, who wrote several books about the faith, said, and I quote, "The information that was left out of our announcement is that I have undergone massive shift in regards to my faith in Jesus." The popular phrase for this is deconstruction. The biblical phrase is falling away. By all the measurements that I have for defining a Christian, I'm not a Christian. Many people tell me that there is a different way to practice faith, and I want to remain open to this, but I'm not there now. You know what this tells us? Huwag tayong magpakampante. Hindi natin pwedeng sabihin na relax-relax lang, complacent lang sa Kristiyano naman din ako. And I know my theology, once saved, always saved. I cannot be unsaved. See, the unregenerated doesn't think of it that way. Yung totoo pong Kristiyano thinks that he will be diligent in seeking to know Jesus more and more because he knows that it is the only way he can keep himself from being deceived by false teaching. Listen again to Peter. I've read this one earlier. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. It reads, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own salvation." Did Peter say, don't worry, you can be relaxed, you can be complacent, because once saved, always saved? No, Peter said, but grow in the grace and knowledge and Savior Jesus Christ himself. Paul, after learning that he does not have any righteousness of his own, but that through faith in Jesus Christ. What did Peter say? What did Paul say? That I may know him. And even if I die like him, I would. If only I would know him. We cannot be complacent in our study of the scripture. At least we get to understand that we are surrounded by all kinds of false teaching. And a Christian would never say to himself, I will never be deceived. Bring it on. A Christian will always protect himself by seeking to understand the scripture more. If it is our attitude, if complacency is our attitude, listen, it is indicative that we do not have the desire for Christ. And if we do not have the desire of Christ, it is indicative, it could be, that we are not in the faith. See, we will never understand the value of theology in our lives. In church, I'm pleading to you as your pastor from the heart. I'm really pleading. Let's stop our slothfulness when it comes to the reading of Scripture. Let's destroy that thinking that says we have too much theology already. That's not work. In fact, this year we want to provide you with Sunday Mobile Library, where you can get a book and read and feed your soul. Because of the ever-present heresies, we cannot overestimate the value of theology if we are to be good servants. This leads us to the second point today, the theology of the good servant, or the theology of a good servant. See, our deep understanding of God, the gospel, and every truth of the scripture gives us the ability to discern the problem of a false teaching and expose it. The false teaching that the Ephesian church were exposed was like a mixture of a lot of teaching. This is why false teaching is deceptive, because it's a mixture of a lot of teaching, and then along the way you get lost. Here we find legalism, we find asceticism, we find Gnosticism mixed into the gospel. See, the deception is always about, we also believe in Jesus. Even Kurbuloy would say, I believe in Jesus. And then rape the women in their church. Oh, no, it's not the church. It's a quote. At the heart of this false teaching here is Gnosticism, the belief that spirit is good and body is evil. And so the thinking is, if body is evil, don't feed it. Don't feed the body because it is evil. Stay away from anything that gives pleasure to the body or asceticism. Don't marry because you will experience pleasure in marriage. You will experience pleasure in sexual intimacy. But the body is evil, so don't engage in marriage. You can live without a spouse, You can live without sex. And don't eat too much. Well, you cannot live without food. So you do not eat too much. You do not eat. You do not need too much to live. Eat only what you need to live. And the thinking here is do it because the more you deprive your body, the more spiritual you can be. See, the Gnosticism believed that the more you deny the body, you will enter into a what they call as higher knowledge. A higher sphere. Higher spiritual level. Well, we might say, how can a so-called Christian be deceived by such an obvious heresy? Like, it's so heretical. Well, don't be so quick. Because even us today feel so spiritual if you're not able to watch TV for a week. We felt so spiritual because we haven't opened our Facebook for 2 weeks. We feel spiritual simply because we have deprived ourselves, isn't it? Now, I'm not saying watch TV and watch Facebook. Oh, open your Facebook all you can. What I'm saying is that mere depriving of self from anything, food, marriage, TV, Facebook, TikTok, Reels, YouTube. What else? Ano po bang nakalimutan ko? K-pop. Does not make you spiritual. Unless, of course, if you are doing that to free yourself to pursue Christ. The only way we can be spiritual and grow in our spiritual life is if we grow into Christ. But if you fasted, you did not eat, but what did you do? Just sit down. No, it's diet. No. For Paul, when you mix the gospel with anything, when you mix the gospel with anything, as he said in verse 2, that is the teachings of the demons. It is a mixture of a lot of things designed to make one to be lost. I heard one church, literally one church, they are into New Age movement. They are into cultural redemption. They are into animistic practices. When they pray, there is an outer court, an inner court, a holy place, and a holy of holies. While still saying that Jesus is Lord and Savior. How can you be animistic and still profess that Jesus is Lord? Paul said, once you mix the gospel with any philosophy, it is a teaching of the demon. And what makes it deceitful is because they also read the Bible. See, Pastor, I really love it because you know, everything he teaches about health, about diet, he always used the Bible. The Bible is not about diet. Come on. Somebody told me, John, you have to watch her because she's teaching about good health. And you are a pastor. And she uses scripture. You see, how amazing is this theology? Look at what Paul did here. To spot the problem, it was so easy for Paul. And you know the reason? Because he knew God. He knew God. He knew the gospel very well. Paul smelled this teaching. I smell Satan in the garden. I smell Satan in the garden. Paul knew that Satan would always attack the goodness of God like he did to Adam and Eve. Paul did not say, okay, how did you reconcile the gospel from forbidding marriage and abstinence? No, he was not. He said, if you say God said you have to deprive your things of goodness, it is not from God because the God that I know is a God of goodness and generosity. Isn't this what Satan did to Adam and Eve? God gave all these fruits of the garden, except, of course, the fruit of the one tree, the tree of the good of knowledge and evil. God is so generously good that he gave everything in the garden except one. To remind Adam that he's not God, God is God. But you remember what Satan did as he asked the woman? Did God actually say, "You shall not eat of any tree of the garden"? See what Satan is doing here? He said he wanted to make it appear that God is so stingy. He's not worthy of your worship because he is so stingy. He did not even give you one of the fruits of all the garden, but that's not true. God said, eat of all the fruits of the trees of the garden. Paul smells Satan's tactic and says, no. Right there, because he knows his theology, my God does not deprive me of good things. He knew, Paul knew. He read this Genesis chapter 2, and he knew that God created these things to be received with thanksgiving. Contrary to what Satan accused God of, stingy. Kaya pagka, di ba, pagka meron kang problema, meron kang pagkakulangan, wala kang pambayad, what did Satan tell you? Hindi naman mabait yung God mo. Kung mabait siya, ay binigyan ka sana niya. Has God really been good to you? Has He really provided you? If He has really provided you, bakit sila may sasakyan, ikaw wala? Hanggang ngayon, BMW pa rin. Baklay mentras wa. This is what Satan does. But when that happened, how much do you know your God? How deep is your theology? So that you can smell right away there's something wrong. Elsewhere, James said, when some also said in the church that God tempts them to sin when he allowed suffering in their lives. Remember the theology of James? James said, no, God cannot do that. Because here's what God would give every time. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from God, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Have you ever seen that? In those temptations, it tests your knowledge of God. It tests your theology, and it is your theology that keeps you from being deceived by this false teaching. The goodness of God, making sure to provide everything good that we need, is a basic truth that every believer, true believer, understands. It is a basic truth. Our God is good, abundant in steadfast love. That is why, instead of thinking that God simply wants anyone to deprive himself with anything good, marriage, food, or anything good, a true believer will instead receive with thanksgiving these good things. Referring to food, Paul said in verse 3, God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Those who believe and know the truth. Now listen, however, yes, when God created everything for the enjoyment of man, shows the goodness of God, but it is not the greatest display of the goodness of God. God is so passionate to display his own glory. He wants his people, those who believe and know the truth, he wants them to understand that I'm really good. They said that the goodness of God is not just one of his attributes. The goodness of God is the source of everything. It is the source of his grace. It is the source of his mercy. It is the source of his love, because he is a good God. And that fountain of his goodness flows to his creation, but it's not yet. He wants us to see that he's really good. It could be that Paul anticipated that some would insist that God, if you're saying, Paul, that God, that we will not become more spiritual if we forbid ourselves on these things, didn't God forbid Israel to eat some of this food in the Old Testament? And by the way, in all of Scripture, God never forbid anyone to marry. So, singles breeze. You know, you can pray for your lifetime friend. He wanted to show another level of goodness. Look at verse 4 to verse 5. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word and prayer. Now, the word of God here has a lot of take. They said it is a Jewish practice where they read the word before eating, and out of the word they will pray from that word. They think this must be what Paul is thinking. But I will go with Thomas de Leia, who said it refers to the gospel. Let me quote Thomas de Leia here. It is a long quote, and so I was thinking, should I read this or not? But I'm trying to put it in my own words. I cannot tough the way he said it. So let me just read him. There's a better way to do that. He commented, the terms may refer to the act of blessing food, but the term word of God may refer to the gospel message than to the Old Testament scripture. In the pastoral epistles, letters of Paul, the expression word of God is generally a reference to the gospel message. You can look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Titus 1, verse 3, Titus 2, verse 5. It refers to the gospel. Paul was probably following that usage here and was suggesting that in responding to the gospel, the believers in Ephesus had learned that there are no food laws, at least anymore. It is no longer applicable. No food laws anymore. The gospel has brought them to the proper understanding of food, and now they can acknowledge it by prayer that it was from God. Did it capture what the text really says? Let me give you a sidebar. We have to understand that the restrictions in the Old Testament was like a law that served to show the sinfulness of Israel. Every time they will eat what was forbidden, they will be declared unclean. Because the message has always been, you are unclean, you are unclean, you are unclean. So that it will sink in their hearts and mind that I am unclean, who will clean me? Right? That was the message. That was the message always in all of the Old Testament. You are unclean, you are unclean. You need someone to cleanse you. It points to Jesus, but Jesus has come. If you still don't want to eat fish without scales, my address is 113B. No, we can eat. You can eat dinuguan if your conscience allow you. It is no longer in effect. It's no longer in effect. You see, Paul was able to see the problem because of his deep understanding of God and the gospel. It is amazing, again, how we can easily spot the problem of some teachings if we are deep in our understanding of who God is, what the gospel is, who man is, and all other doctrines of Scripture. I hope I have made a case. We cannot undermine theology. This is what a good servant of Christ needs if he is to protect others from false teachings. Paul described a good servant of Jesus Christ. If you look at verse 6, here's how he described a good servant of Jesus Christ. He said, being trained in the word of the faith. Being trained in the word of the faith and of the doctrine that we have followed. That being trained there is like God's command to the fathers, train up your child in the way that they should go. Brought them up teach them in the teaching of the faith and in the doctrine. We have to be immersed in these teachings. Yes, like Timothy, who was a pastor, pastors should be well-versed in his theology of God and other doctrines of the faith. We require our elders in training to study hard. Brother Sedi has to enroll himself in the seminary because this is the primary work of the gospel worker. Even our deacons in our church, we require them to grow with us in deepening our understanding of the faith. But Paul, elsewhere, essentially said that everyone should have a deep understanding of theology. And allow me to quote Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 13 this morning. Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 13, it reads, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers," those are pastors, "to equip the saints, so that the saints will be equipped, and the saints will help in the ministry for the building up of the body of Christ, until all pastors..." Did it say all pastors? Did it say all elders? Until all deacons? No, it says until we all, the whole church, attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, because that's what it means to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. When we started the church back then, I can still remember some of us, parang gusto kong mahulog sa kinauupuan ko kasi may mga magsasabi, "Pastor, I was so blessed with Joyce Mayer." Hindi ko alam paano sagutin. "Pastor, I was so blessed with Paula White and Joel Austin. Pastor, I was watching Steve Fortick. He's cool. He brings God in the pulpit." You see, Paula White, T.D. Jakes, Perry Noble, they are false teachers. But now I haven't heard anything like this anymore. At least I haven't. Maybe you're not telling me. Because I believe we can already discern that these are false teachers. You see, when we grow in our knowledge of Christ, we can discern a false teaching. And I will continue to plead, we shall all study theology. And on Sunday, we want all of us to start programming our minds. Our gathering does not start at 9:45. Our gathering starts at 9 o'clock. Our doctrinal class is part of our worship to God. It is the night, not just the singing part to the Word. The doctrinal class is part of our worship to God. So start programming that our Sunday does not start at 9:45. Our Sunday starts at 9 o'clock. When we have books displayed already on the coming Sundays, go borrow one. And please read it. Please read it. If you love it so much, still return it because others would need it. But we will provide you with resources. Because we feel as leaders that this is our work to equip you. To equip you so that all of us would stay in the faith, that we can keep everyone in the faith. This leads us to the third point today, the work of the good servant. The work of the good servant. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, it reads, "If you put these things," what Paul said before that, "you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed." Put these things before the brothers. Put it before them. Let the brothers see it. Point it to them. This is very straightforward. Point it to them. Hindi ito yung pahapyaw lang ba? Baka kasi ma-offend eh. No, pointed to them. Hindi pwedeng magpadaig sa takot. Pointed to them. Pagdating sa false teaching, hindi pwedeng bahala na yung brothers, makikita din niya yon. No, point it to him. Point it to them. Paul said, point these things before the brothers. Obviously, the battle here is the battle of the truth. Pagdating sa false teaching, hindi ito battle na kung sino ang mas gentle. It is not primarily, at least, it is a battle of the truth. If it is the battle of the truth, then Timothy, who is timid, 1 Timothy 1:7, Paul has to tell him, God did not give us the spirit of timidity. And in chapter 4, verse 12, Timothy has the tendency to let others look down on his youthfulness. But Paul says, no, you cannot be timid. You cannot let others look down on your youthfulness. If you want to be a good servant of Jesus Christ, you have to put these things before the brothers. I have a conversation with two brothers in Christ from another church, and we were talking about a topic that we believe their church, at least what they said, wrongly taught. I believe I was very careful not to make an impression that their church is a false church, because I think it is not. However, when it comes to this specific teaching that we were talking, I have to make clear that it is not what the scripture teaches. And then we started studying the Bible together, because we have to point it to the brothers. It is not arrogance. It is not arrogance when we help our brothers see the truth of who God is or the gospel. It is actually love, because love rejoices with the truth. It is love because if we allow our brothers to continue with his wrong understanding, he will eventually live the faith. And as Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:19, his faith will be destroyed. Yes, we have to study the scripture to keep ourselves in the faith, but also that we may keep our brothers, because we are our brothers' keepers. We are each other's keeper. When Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? The answer is, yes, you are your brother's keeper. We are each other's keeper. Join a disciple-making care group. Go join one where you will be helped in understanding the faith clearly. But as you join your DCG, the disciple-making care group, expect your DCG leader to point out your wrong understanding, if there is any, because their role is to keep you in the faith. Their role is to keep you in the faith. So, a good servant of Christ will keep the church from living the faith by always exposing any heretical teaching in light of his knowledge of the gospel. Understand, I name names today, and I will continue to name names, if only that you will not listen to them. We cannot undermine the value of theology. Cannot. And my praying is that we would love theology. Not so that our brains and our heads will grow big, but we need theology to make our hearts grow and to move our hands, to open our mouths, and to make our feet walk. We need to know who God is. So a good gospel servant of Christ should have a deep knowledge of the gospel, so that he is able to expose any heresy that his brothers are in danger of believing and keep them in the faith.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Cruciform Life Church podcast. Check out more gospel-centered messages at www.cruciformlifechurch.org or subscribe to this podcast at Spotify.